good seeing.
Thank you, Brother Wade. It adds a little something to it. You guys can be seated when you know the history behind the hymn. And most of our hymns were written in times of great tragedy. Many of them were. Many of them were written out of times of personal triumph. Amazing. The Lord gives a song in the night. And our hymn book is a testimony of that. Amen. And, you know, I wonder, in fact, I know, when the writers of the hymns, when they were writing the hymns, sometimes they were just putting down their hearts, just brokenness on paper. They had no idea how that was going to impact the world. And literally, you think about these hymns, they're being sung by hundreds of millions of Christians around the globe on any given Sunday. And it's amazing. So don't think for a moment sometimes that the difficulty that you're going through at this moment is only for you. Oftentimes, God has somebody watching. In today's world, you may not write a hymn, but you may write a Facebook post. You may write a letter, and if nothing else, it's being recorded in heaven. Here we are, the book of the Revelation, chapter number 9. Revelation 9. We've opened up this chapter a couple weeks ago, and we've entitled it A War on the World. John has been exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and on the Lord's day, God gave him this entire vision. He wrote it down, and now it has been literally given out to Christians around the world. We have preserved in our Bible. I cannot imagine what John was thinking, though, whenever God was giving him this revelation. Imagine there. John probably thinking, my ministry's over, done with, been exiled, nobody around, and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord shows up, begins to unroll future events. Many of them he had no idea what he was looking at. Think about it. Somebody from AD 95 looking at things that have at the very least not happened as far as 2022. And all of the advancements in the last almost 2,000 years have been tremendous. And he's trying to describe that. So you'll see that in this chapter and the verses we're going to read tonight. I believe that there may be a little bit of symbolism. One of our rules for studying the book of Revelation is this. We take it literally until otherwise pulled in a different direction. Unless you get to a passage where you think, you know, I believe there's some symbolism in there, and you can still take it literally, but I'll explain that as we get to it. But there are entire groups tonight that want to take the entire book as a symbol, and they miss out on so many of the great truths. The book of the Revelation is a picture of future events yet to happen. Many of these things are lined up on the stage of the world right now. So let's pick a couple verses. Let's read beginning in verse number 13. Verse number 13 of chapter 9 of Revelation. The Word of God says, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That's 200 million, by the way. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw all the horses in the vision." This right here is where I believe we probably get into some symbolism. Some of the things that John is seeing that were so far in the future, so far advanced, it was hard for him to explain. And he did the best that he could. And you imagine being from AD 95 and seeing a car. How hard would it be to try to go back to AD 95 and say, you're not going to believe what I just saw? They'd say, what? And he would try. And so here you have him looking into the future, and there's a war that's broken out. And you look at some of the machines of war today, and even for us, it's hard to describe some of the helicopters and some of the missiles and some of those things. So he's trying his best to describe that. You see, and he says, and I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them had breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone. I'll go into this a little bit greater detail in a moment, but these colors right here are the colors of fire. What we're picturing, what we're seeing here, are the colors of hell, if you will. And it goes on. It says, and the head of the horses was the head of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three were the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their powers in their mouths and in their tails, and their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads with which them they do hurt. I'm going to stop there because I want to save the last part and get to it tonight. We'll try. We'll see where we go. First of all, in the last week or two, we've discussed this. We talked about there's a time, Amber is not linking up, so you'll have to click through, a time of demonic activity. That's what we saw last week. We looked at how a plan is mentioned, a place, the river Euphrates, the purpose. Why is hell unleashing these beasts? I believe that as we've gotten into this part of the tribulation, these are demonically led armies. These are real armies of human beings, but they're led by demonic beings, if you will. And we think of this time in the future as all of this has been unleashed. And all of these folks are going and they're charging to kill the Jews and the Christians of the world. And you read some of these numbers and it's staggering what else is going on. So it's a time of demonic activity. Can I tell you something? We live in a day of demonic activity now. You watch the news. Look, I mean, where is it at? They're making a big deal right now because these satanic after-school clubs are going on. We knew that was going to happen because for years we've had Bible clubs that have been in our public schools in the afternoons. So now they're bringing in the satanic clubs, and the superintendents and all are saying, well, you know, we've allowed the Bible folks in there, so we've got to allow the little Satanists in there too. And I just want to say, no, you don't. Well, they'll sue. Let them. I'd like to see that one go before a jury of my peers. Amen. I'd like to stand before a jury of my peers and say, hey, you know, are we going to allow this garbage going on in our society? And maybe expose a little bit about the satanic temple and the satanic worship and all of that. That's the last thing those little Satanists want us to do. But they're going to use these things, and it's happening in our world today. And we're seeing a time of demonic activity today. But after the saints of God are taken out, it's going to grow 100 times worse. And I've said this over and over and over again in this study. I'm glad I'm not here for this. I'm glad I'm not here. But then number two, I want you to see, these are the verses we read this week. I want you to see a time of destructive activity. First of all, I want you to see the size of the army. The size of it. These four demons will be released with the mission of killing one-third of humanity. They'll use their power to energize a vast human army. 200 million serving in this army. They say that if you had a 200 million person or man army, that they could be 1 mile wide and 87 miles long. That's 200 million. So a little math reveals that. Communist China has had the ability since 1964 to raise a fighting force of over 200 million. In the year 2000, China had 363 million available men between the ages of 15 and 49 in order if they needed that many to make up an army. In 2020, China has 395 million men between the ages of 15 and 49. They have 332 million women between the ages of 15 and 49. And don't think for a moment that the communists aren't for putting all of them on the front lines. In comparison to the tiny nation of Israel, Israel has about 1.4 million males, 15 to 49. It's not even close. By the way, at the time of John's writing, whenever this letter went out, I have no doubt that there were a lot of people that were thinking, John has really lost it. And the reason why? Because at the time of John's life, the world population was only about 350 million. And here he is saying, oh, there's going to be a 200 million man army. They're like, what? No, it's not going to happen. So we look at this and you think, how could this be? By the way, each year China adds about another 10 million available to their number. India. India has about the same. So between India and China, if you took all their men and women, 15 to 49, it'd be over a billion of them. They can lose a lot of people before it matters to them. So you see the size of this army. I give you those numbers to tell you this. The Word of God is still accurate. Even though it talks of some enormous numbers, and at the time of John's writing, really, literally, there's no way this could happen. But here we are, almost 2,000 years later, and it very easily could happen today. So you have the size of this army. But then also look at it in verse number 17. It says, and I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. This is where we're going to kind of get into the symbolism maybe. All right, I'm not saying that this is not a literal army. I'm saying that I believe this is a literal army. But what I'm saying is this, John couldn't really accurately say, oh, there were Apache helicopters. He had no idea. He was just watching and he's looking at this vision, so he's describing it the best that he can. As we read the description of this army, one of the questions always comes up whenever I read after many of the writers on Revelation, one of the questions that comes up is this army human or is this army demonic? I believe that we're looking at a human army that is demonically controlled and energized. I really do. Because you look at our world today, at many that have gone through not just the education system in the United States, but in communist China and communist Korea and in all the nations where they worship all these things, they have been led to follow right along. Can I tell you, freedom in America is something that most of our world has no idea or concept of. Almost most of a huge majority of the world has no idea about what freedom really is. They think it's so strange that we stand up to some of the things that we stand up to because they just fall in the line on so many of these things. Something strikes me about this, though, is the language that is used to describe these soldiers. As I said before, I believe that the symbolism that is here is a description of what hell's going to look like. These men have breastplates of fire. They have breastplates of jacinth and brimstone. Brimstone, what do you think about when you think about brimstone? Well, fire and brimstone, you think of judgment. These are the colors red, blue, and yellow. Of what? Of fire. These are the colors associated with the torments of hell itself. These horses literally breathe fire and smoke and brimstone. As I read through this, all I can think about is this is a description of what hell's going to be like. People always want to know what we as Christians believe about hell. Do we believe that hell is real or is it just a symbol? I was reading after a preacher this last week and he said this. He said, I always tell people that they'd better hope it is real. A symbol is always a weak attempt to describe something that is very real. If the language in the Bible regarding hell is symbolic, then hell is far worse than anything that we've heard or seen of. The Bible gives us a literal description of hell. There's also language that's being used here to describe some things that are indescribable. As I've said before, John is living in the first century and he's describing an army from the 21st century. We're talking about a man that lived in the time where people carried swords, bows and arrows. They carried shields, mostly made of leather. Had no idea what an up-armored Humvee was. Had no idea what a fighter jet is. What some of the handheld weapons that we have in our military today. As we look at the description, John gives of these men, their methods, or their horses and their methods of killing, it seems like he was trying to describe a scene that he didn't have the right vocabulary to describe. He was doing his best. Look, he says, they had faces like lions. This may indicate that they're horses. By the way, there are several armies in the world today that have massive horse fleets. Horses are still used in a large portion of Russia and in that part of the world. Much of that part of the world, it's a lot easier to get around on horseback than it is any other way. But whatever their horses were or whatever the vehicles were, they're fierce looking. And John sees it. And just the mode of transportation, you look at it, it says here in verse number 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. So he's talking about those horses had heads of lions. And it says, men are killed by the smoke, the fire, and the brimstone that issued from the mouth of these beasts. Could that be a description of maybe tanks? Or something in that? Maybe handheld rockets? Or he'd never seen a machine gun before. And you know, you YouTube a video of a 50 caliber machine gun or maybe a 105mm machine gun being shot off of a helicopter, those things will cut a tree right down. Here he is, he's talking about that. These beasts are said to have power in their heads and their tails to kill and to do damage. This brings to mind or maybe the image of a helicopter or even today, drones that we use. As I said before, imagine how John is trying to describe this. Go with me on a little imaginary trip. Imagine a man from the 1800s. He's plucked out of his time period and he's placed in our day and age. Just from 200 years ago. Just taken up and brought here and spent a couple days here and then he's automatically transported back. You know what they do? They put that jerker in a mental institution. They'd think he had gone completely mad because he would say, you're not going to believe this. People have phones. And they say, what's a phone? Well, it's kind of like this. By the way, that's what today's young people do. Us old people, we talk about a phone like that. Young people, you ask them, give me the symbol of a phone. Amen. It's like, y'all didn't know. Amber taught me that because she's talking about, and I'm like, what? Because she asked me, she said, guess how my sixth graders, I asked them to give me an example of a phone, and all of them are like, and Amber's like, well, what are you doing? No, a phone is like that. They have no idea about that kind of phone. They only know flat. But can you imagine? Man from 1800s goes back and he's telling them, you're not going to believe this. They all have phones. What's a phone? What's how they communicate? Don't they talk? Don't they write letters? Well, no, because in the future, the postal service is so slow. It's way slower than in 1800s whenever we used to have a man ride on horseback across country. And back in 1800s when we had a man, the Pony Express, that's where we get the name from, it was a lot more reliable back then, unless, of course, Indians killed him or something. But today, the postal, never mind. All right. But can you imagine all the things he's trying to describe? The buildings, air conditioning? What? That's where John is at. John is tasked with a very difficult situation here. He has looked into the future, and he's got to describe it. Oftentimes, with no idea. It would be foolish, I believe, to be too dogmatic to say that these verses can only describe a modern army and its equipment. But I believe that we need to at least look at that as a possibility. Regardless of how you interpret these verses, one thing is clear. It's going to be a time of terrible destruction. It's going to be a time of terrible death. And it's going to be a time of unbelievable demonic activity. I'll say it again. I praise the Lord that I am not going to be here for this. Amen? So you see a time of demonic activity. You see a time of destructive activity. And then last, you see in verses 20 and 21, we see a time of depraved activity. John describes the war and the destruction, and a lot of times people get hung up on that. And truthfully, men have been killing each other for ages. But I see some of the saddest verses in chapter 9 as being verses 20 and 21. It doesn't strike me as that awful that men would want to kill each other. It doesn't strike me that awful that one army would want to dominate another. But what strikes me is, I don't even know how the right word to use. What strikes me as nearly unbelievable is what verses 20 and 21 describe. Read with me. It says in verse 20, "And the rest of the men, those that lived, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues," note this, "yet repented not of the works of their hands." You know what they said? "No, God. We don't believe in you. We don't trust you. We've watched and we don't want you." The devil has not only deceived these armies into killing each other, 200 million, what were the deaths out of these battles? It'd be astronomical, a third part of the world. But those that are watching this, viewing it on the internet, seeing the images everywhere, I repent not. We're told very clearly that these demons unleash a vast army upon the earth. One third of all the people living on the earth will be killed. One third. You would think that the death and destruction on that scale would cause mankind to look within his heart, acknowledge his sins, and turn in repentance toward God. But those who survive, and that's all they'll do during this time, they'll only survive and exist. The ultra, ultra rich, they'll probably enjoy a lot of the finer things, but for the vast majority of humankind, they're going to be living hand to mouth. Survival of the fittest at its finest here. But they continue on in their sins, refusing to repent. These two verses are a clear picture of the condition of the heart of man. We can long to find good in man, But man is totally depraved. And he's a hopeless sinner apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, that'll bring them to their senses. No, only the grace of God can bring somebody. Every human carries within their heart the seeds of evil, and they're capable of committing any sin that can be imagined. And we're seeing that today. The things that used to be in the dark places are being brought out into the public view. You know, we've become so calloused. You take the whole Jeffrey Epstein, what's her name, Ghislaine, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Maxwell. You know, they picked up these young girls, these underage girls, and they provided them to wealthy men around the globe for sexual favors. Jeffrey Epstein had no viable income stream, yet he was a billionaire. I wonder if those billions came from blackmail. But we watched the trial recently, and she was convicted of 6 counts. But we're kind of like, ho-hum. 13, 14, 15-year-old girls taken and being used by old men. That's just being marched out right in front of us today. Just right out in front of us. Man is depraved. In verse number 20, notice this. It says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands. Notice this. That they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. So first of all, I want you to see man's depraved in his worship. Worship. Given all the sin and the chaos during the tribulation, you might think that it's going to be a time of empty religious activity, but it's not. It's going to be a time that the tribulation will be marked with full-on religious activity of all kinds. As you know, though, no religion can save. It takes faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish salvation. Man is a religious creature. It doesn't matter where you go at in this world, you'll find people engaged in worship of some sort. You go to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa and South America, to the highest mountains in Asia, to the great cities of Europe and the great cities of America, and you'll find people engaged in worship of some kind. Every culture, whether primitive or advanced, has some involvement with worship. Even the atheist worships. He just happens to worship himself. So this verse tells us that religion in the tribulation period will be marked. Notice this again. It says in the middle of this that they should not worship devils. It will be marked by the worship of demons and by the worship of material things. Can I ask you this? How different is that than today? Not much, is it? Not any. Men will be caught up in the worship of the occult. There is an increase in our day in the interest of the occult. Satan, 50 years ago, was kind of hiding in the background. We've said this before. I can remember being in Christian school as a young man, and we had different ones come, and they talked about the rock music and how it had the demonic culture to it, and they would play a record backwards and you could hear a demonic voice on it and all of that. You don't have to do that today. You can play it all forward. It's all out in the open today. Witchcraft is becoming more popular than ever. So many shows today have all of this in it now. So many of the shows and the cartoons for our young people, our children. Just preaching it to them all the time. All the time. You see, with the occult, it begins with entertainment. And people learn about it, begin to dabble in it, then it moves into the arena of enlightenment. People then begin to seek answers and help for their problems in the world of the occult, and it moves from entertainment to enlightenment to enslavement. And the devil is a terrible taskmaster. You say, how do you prove that demonic activity is up in our culture today? Number one proof, the amount of suicides. People are committing suicides right now in America probably at a higher rate than any time in American history. Why? Hopelessness. Nobody but the devil whispers that in somebody's ear. See, people get trapped in the system. They're unable to get free. Here's the truth. If you reject Jesus Christ, you ready for this? If you reject Jesus Christ, all you have is Satan. That's it. It's Jesus or it's Satan. There's no in between. There are no other options. Any other option than Jesus is Satan. We've forgotten that somehow. Oh, well, they're good people. They worship Satan, whether they realize it or not. If you don't worship Jesus Christ, then you worship Satan. Man will not only give his worship to Satan, but he'll give it to works and gods of his own creation. Look at it in verse 20. It says, repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Huh. Could it mean here that man will give his worship to the material possessions of his life? Could it be that man will actually worship his money, his car, his home, his possessions? Huh. How far are we away from that? We're not. We're in the middle of that today. Jesus Christ could come and most of the world wouldn't even take note. Because nothing would change. Man will worship his money and his car and his home. Even though he gives his love, his adoration, and his worship to these things, they're not gods. They can't hear. They can't respond. They can't walk. These things will be of no benefit to him. What he doesn't realize is in all actuality, he's worshiping Satan. Satan doesn't have to be worshipped. His goal is just to get people not to worship Jesus Christ. That's it. There's a thought that probably shouldn't be missed right here. Every one of us should look at the God that we worship. We should worship God, the Lord Jehovah and Jesus Christ. But we allow a lot of other things to come in, don't we? You say, how do I know? If that thing captures your love and your adoration and it takes the place of God, be careful. Be careful. Many are worshiping gods like those of the ancient Israel. And you read back through Israel and you read in Psalm 115, you read Jeremiah. What's amazing? How wicked and how quickly wicked they got. Man is depraved in his worship, but he's also depraved in his works. Verse number 21. I'm almost finished with this passage. Because here's another one of these phrases that should be heartbreaking to us. Neither repented they of what? Of their murders, their sorceries, their fornications, nor their thefts. Murders. You know, it's hard to imagine a civilization being more murderous than our own. Hardly a day passes that somebody doesn't get killed in Indianapolis. Large towns, small towns, no community is immune. People hate each other. There are hitmen who will kill someone they don't even know. There are websites out there. Hitmen are us. I don't know, that may not be the true one, but people apparently can hire a hitman or a hitwoman. They don't kill for hate, they kill for profit. And it doesn't take much. There are serial killers. Those who just roam the land, killing total strangers. Have you guys ever wondered? Have you ever wondered about the number of kids that go missing in our nation? It's an awesome amount. Teenager, runaways. Where do they all go? Many of them are probably put to death by some sadistic murderer. Of course, the greatest killers in America today are the abortionists. They commit murder every day. They're protected by the laws of the land. How? I don't know. Why? I don't know. Why are things this way? Neither repented they of their murders. Why? Because we've taught an entire generation, in fact, we've taught two entire generations, that they descended from apes. And that there's no right or wrong. It's what they believe is right or wrong. This verse teaches us that the tribulation time will be marked by murders. I can imagine that apparently the violence of man escalates after the saints of God and the Holy Spirit is taken out of the world. They repented not of their murders nor of their sorceries. The word sorcery is an interesting word. It's the word that we get the word pharmacy from. Pharmacy. Two possible interpretations. Could be the satanic worship, but we've already seen that. This very well could be the rise in drug abuse. I grew up in the late 70s and early 80s. Okay, in the days where I was growing up, you had alcohol, marijuana. Cocaine was rich man's thing. After I graduated from high school, moved into the crack cocaine time period in a nation, and then it moved into meth, and then it moved into the latest one, the opioid epidemic. Lost men are going to get hooked on something. And apparently, in the tribulation, drugs are going to skyrocket. The drug usage is going to skyrocket. Mind-altering drugs. Maybe our world is seeking an escape hatch from their problems through these drugs, which no doubt is true. This trend will increase. Is it even possible that the government will resort to using drugs to control an increasingly violent population? Could it start with a shot? I just had to throw that in there. Amen. Maybe for a certain virus. Hint, hint, hint. You know, booster shot, booster shot, booster shot, booster shot. Everybody's calm now. Why? Because they're all high. We got a whole pot. It's cool, dude. I'm rad. Yeah, whatever. See? You know, if they can't control us, amen. Yeah, hey, quit drinking well water. Don't drink water out of the well. Get it out of bottles. So we can put a drop or two of something in it, and you guys will drink it, and everybody will be calm. Another reason why y'all ought to quit drinking bottled water. Not just for the money part, but that. Sorceries. Our culture is addicted to drugs and alcohol. Drugs, pharmaceutical drugs, alcohol are the second and the third largest industries in America. The largest one is mentioned next. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornications. The largest market in America is pornography. It's a multi-hundred-billion-dollar a year industry. This is a word as used in that day to refer to any kind of illicit sexual sin. It covers every type of sexual activity that mankind can be engaged in. For some that are older, we've seen the free love movements. We've seen the love ends of the hippies. We've seen the sexual revolution. And now we're in the I don't even know what. We have witnessed a day when things that were not even discussed in public are common on our television screens. In fact, they're more common on our television screens than a Coca-Cola commercial is. Children, by the age of 10 or 11 today, know more about sex than the married man did in the 40s. Our society is saturated by sex. Man has taken a beautiful gift from God and perverted it. Sexual perversion will increase as we move into the last days. Who would have ever thought that our legislatures would have to debate whether or not they were going to separate prisoners in prisons based on their birth or their gender at birth rather than the birth or the gender they identify with? See, what they're having right now is they're having men saying that they're women that are going to women's prisons, and they're like, wow, I can't believe this. The pregnancy rates have gone way up. Well, whatever. Who'd have ever thought that two of the people vying for the highest records in swimming in America are two men that are perverted and want to swim in the women's division? Sometimes I look and I think, oh, can it get any worse? And the answer is, yeah, it can. And then lastly, it says, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication. Does it feel like we're right on the edge of this? Watch this last one. Nor of their thefts. the personal rights and the property of others will have no meaning at all in the tribulation. What the last 5 or 6 years been like in America and around the world? We're already seeing this trend in society. A segment of our population believes it is their right to take what they want, when they want, from whenever and wherever they can get it from. The summer of 2020 saw this as the movement gained momentum that used the cover of rioting to take from the wealthy to give to the underprivileged. Property rights, private rights mean nothing. Theft. I can steal from you because you can't stop me. This will have to increase. And the reason why it has to increase, because food, water, medicine, clothing, shelter will become increasingly scarce in the tribulation. And if people will rob and steal today when they're given everything, imagine what those same animals will do when they have to and justify it. The Bible paints a pretty bleak picture, doesn't it? Chapter 9 is probably one of the bleakest chapters in the Revelation. And the reason why is because it exposes so much about man. Amber, last slide. I'll put this up because I was thinking about this afternoon. This is why we should do everything in our power to reach them with the gospel. No sacrifice should be too great, no distance too vast, no expense too steep, and no effort is wasted in the work of reaching men and women, boys and girls for Jesus Christ. They repented not. We know somebody personally that we need to pray. We need to reach before it's too late. There's a reason why we're here. Because God doesn't want people to go through that. You say, well, how do you believe that? Cross. Cross proves that. God doesn't want men to go through that. He wants all to be saved. May God help us this week to have a burden for them. Heads bowed, eyes closed. This is how we're going to close.